Sparks fly. At GOP debate, Ryan set to take the reins as House Speaker.
This begins a new day in the House of Representatives.
Investigation into wayward military blimp.
That tether is only about an inch and a quarter thick.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, in the rarefied air of the Colorado mountains, the Republican presidential candidates went at it last night in a debate where the tone was sharp and the verbal jabs flew. CBS's Major Garrett has the blow-by-blow from Boulder.
It was hard to focus through the noise, but some moments in this debate broke through.
You're not interested in an answer.
John, I'm interested in an answer from Senator Paul.
Like this exchange between former political allies Jeb Bush and Marco Rubio over votes that Rubio has missed while campaigning.
The Senate, what is it, like a French work week? You get like 3 days where you have to show up?
Rubio implied Bush was a hypocrite for not criticizing other vote-missing senators who have run for president.
The only reason why you're doing it now is because we're running for the same position.
Frontrunners Donald Trump and Ben Carson both took fire from Ohio Governor John Kasich for policy proposals he called unrealistic.
Why don't we just give a chicken in every pot while we're, you know, coming up with these fantasy tax schemes?
He said, oh, I'm never going to attack. But then his poll numbers tanked. He's got very, that's why he's on the end. And he got nasty.
Texas Senator Ted Cruz detected a pattern in the debate questions.
Donald Trump, are you a comic book villain? Ben Carson, can you do math?
And when the issue of government regulation of fantasy football surfaced, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie called timeout.
We have $19 trillion in debt. We have people out of work. We have ISIS and Al-Qaeda attacking us. And we're talking about fantasy football? Can we stop?
CBS News political director John Dickerson says Florida Senator Marco Rubio is getting the highest post-debate marks.
He grabbed his moment, and for him, it was really that exchange with Jeb Bush. It was not only a moment where he bested a competitor, but for a young senator who has no executive experience, it was a moment for voters where he kind of showed he had some strength.
Bush, trailing badly in the polls, had the least speaking time of anyone in the debate. A question from John Dickerson on Face the Nation is key in a new video from John Boehner, who leaves as Speaker of the House today.
Dickerson says, well, you know, the Pope was there on Thursday.
Boehner says that question about the Speaker's visit with the Pope the day before his announcement helped him reach the conclusion later that the Holy Spirit was a guiding force behind his decision. CBS's Stephen Portnoy's on Capitol Hill, where the new speaker takes over today.
As he prepares to take charge, Paul Ryan pledges to be a unifying force for a fractured House majority.
Our party has lost its vision, and we're going to replace it with a vision.
After a lengthy roll call with members voting by voice, top House Democrat Nancy Pelosi will hand Ryan the gavel. Herself a former speaker, Pelosi has this advice.
A speaker cannot enable a few people to drive the engine of legislation in the caucus. So I would say to the Republican majority, let the speaker be speaker.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
CBS's Chip Reed is in Muncie, Pennsylvania, where a huge Army surveillance blimp landed yesterday, hours after it got loose from its Maryland moorings.
The Pennsylvania National Guard is blocking access to the area where the blimp came down. There's some very sophisticated equipment. A military recovery team is in the woods behind me trying to figure out how to get that massive blimp out of here. And, of course, they're still trying to figure out exactly how it got away in the first place.
Last winter, Chip spoke with Army Captain Matt Villa, who was convinced it would never break free.
There is absolutely no concern. I mean, we really do not worry about the tether. There's a one in a million chance of that tether breaking.
For the first time, Iran is joining talks on the future of Syria. Secretary of State Kerry is in Vienna for the formal meetings that begin tomorrow. He says the agenda is stark.
The challenge that we face in Syria today is nothing less than to chart a course out of hell.
China has abandoned its decades-old one-child-per-couple population policy, now allowing two kids. Volkswagen reports its first quarterly loss in 15 years, a sign that dealing with the aftermath of the emissions scandal is going to be costly. CBS's Barry Bagnano tells us one analysis tallies a different toll.
Using data on the amount of extra pollution being emitted by Volkswagen's rigged diesel vehicles in the U.S., MIT researchers have computed the human cost.
We estimate 60 deaths so far
if the vehicles aren't recalled, then an additional 140 deaths could occur.
Deaths that happen 10 to 20 years prematurely, Professor Stephen Barrett says. Health costs so far $450 million, according to this study in Environmental Research Letters.
This research, I think, will be useful to the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Justice to help inform the level of fines they might wish to impose upon Volkswagen.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Recordings are emerging in the federal case against former Subway spokesman Jared Fogel. We're live with CBS's Heather Bosch.
Hi, I'm Jared the Subway Guy.
It's a far cry from his public persona as a pitch man.
What if they put a camera in your kids' room? Would they be okay with that? Would you rather have it in your son or your daughter's room?
Jared Fogel, talking with former journalist Rochelle Herman-Walrond, she says she secretly recorded Fogel and gave the evidence to the FBI. Dr. Phil McGraw, who is airing the tapes on his show today, says they reveal how pedophiles find victims.
He just basically gives you the playbook of an evil monster.
In August, Fogel pleaded guilty to distributing and receiving child porn, as well as crossing state lines to have sex with minors. He'll be sentenced in November.
In California, three Sacramento high school students face charges after a wild cafeteria fight. While trying to restrain one student, Principal Don Ross was body slammed to the floor. He says he wasn't seriously hurt. Kansas City Royals battered the New York Mets 7-1 last night to take a 2-0 lead in the World Series.
Kansas City controlled both the pitching and hitting. Starting pitcher Johnny Cueto went all the way, a complete game, allowing just one run and two hits. Meanwhile, the Royals erupted for 7 runs and 10 hits. The Royals' Alex Gordon.
Everyone's playing well. It's pretty nice when everything's clicking like it is.
The key inning was the fifth. It began with New York on top 1-0, but Kansas City scored 4 times. The Mets could never come back. Steve Futterman, CBS News at the World Series in Kansas City.
From the web to snail mail, police are pulling out plenty of new stops to try to get the bad guy. Here's CBS's Bill Whitney.
It's a trend in law enforcement, turning drug dealers against each other. The latest example is in Navajo County, Arizona, where $6.7 million worth of illegal drugs was seized last year. The sheriff's office is distributing postcards that read, "Is your drug dealing competition costing you money? We offer you a free service to help eliminate your drug competition." On the flip side is information about substance abuse programs. Sheriff Casey Clark expects to get tips. He says there's no honor among these folks. Zero. Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Chicago may be the windy city, but a new report says it's not the nation's windiest. CoreLogic, assessing weather data, says it's Jackson, Mississippi, followed by Springfield, Missouri. Chicago's not even in the top 10. That's the World News Roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.